Raleigh, do you require all your high school disciples to grow a long white beard? Is that your requirement? I'm so glad that we have activities like this that can grow our teenagers in a deeper walk with the Lord, become greater disciples. And so thank you for all of you who volunteer to help in so many ways. I want you to imagine a scenario with me today. Here's the picture. A child is standing on top of a platform about 8 to 10 feet in the air, and they're right at the edge of jumping off. Right at the bottom of the platform is the child's father, who is standing there, arms open, saying, "Jump, you can trust me, jump, go ahead, it'll be okay, I'll catch you, jump." And the child is contemplating, do I jump, do I not jump, and standing there, and the father repeatedly over and over and over, you can trust me, jump. And finally, the child gets up enough courage, believes the dad, and jumps. And just as the child jumps, the dad steps back, the child hits, is injured, and the dad walks up and says, "Ha-ha, see there, may that be a lesson to you. Don't trust anybody. Shame on you." What kind of father would that be? Pastor, that'd be a horrible father that would do that. It'd be terrible. You're right. So why do you think God's like that? Why do you think God, in His Word, over and over and over, says, "Trust me, trust me, trust me, you can step out, you can do this," and you're thinking in your mind, if I step out on faith, He's going to step back and let me fall? So why do you think God's like that? So many times, circumstances in life were there, we're going, God told me to do this, but I don't know about this. I know I have this job that, requires me to be away from the Lord and do things I'm not real comfortable doing, but I don't have any other job, and I may not be able to make it if I lose this job, so I'm not going to jump because He may not catch me. And I know He's told me to give 10% of my income to Him, but I can't afford to do that. I'm not going to jump because if I do, He might step back and let me fall. Whether it's relationships or whether it's a job or whatever it is. Sometimes health, sometimes we're wondering, God, if I step out on faith, I'm going to fall. And the bottom line is, you really don't trust He'll catch you. We've come to the final month in the worship center here, month of August, and during these 5 Sundays in August, we're going to do something different. We're going to do a 5-week sermon series where every single Sunday morning, I'm going to talk about a step toward the new building that we need to take that will make us stronger Christians when we get there. So every Sunday, I'm going to talk about, here are some practical steps you can take and I can take so that as we're walking toward the new building that will be here in 16 or 17 months, whenever we arrive, we will be the godly people He wants. Now, I've already talked about attitudes, attitudes we should have during this time in your life and in the history of this church. And so I've talked about in the wilderness, God's people in the wilderness, they don't grumble, and talked about attitudes, but now we're talking about actions, things we can do that will make us stronger believers. Now, as I talk today about trusting God in this building process, I want each of you individually to be thinking about things in your own personal life where you need to trust God. It may be your job, it may be your health, it may be finances, it may be your relationship. It may be what friendships, I don't know what it is, but think of, as we go through this, I want you to think of things where you need to step out and trust God, just like we do as a church. So read with me Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, as we talk about step number 1, trust. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Now, that passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that's considered a classic in Scripture. And classics are classics for a reason. They're classics because they're good. They're classics because they're powerful, they're inspiring, they're impactful, and that's why we call them classics. So it's good every now and then, I believe, for Christians and for churches to return back to some classics. We've looked at this passage before, but sometimes whenever you look at it at a different season of your life, you're going through something different and you hear these words differently. Sometimes as a church, we're going through things differently and we hear it differently. So keep going back to those classic passages and seeing, what is God trying to tell me in this season of my life? So I want us to do that this morning, and I want us to see what God would say to us from this passage. First of all, letter or number one in your outline, a classic, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Look at the words carefully that Solomon writes. The first word is trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust is the first word, and it's a very common word in Hebrew in the Old Testament. It's the word batach, and it literally means to have confidence or to trust. 120 times in the Old Testament, the word batach is used. 103 of those are translated trust. 6 of them are translated confidence, and 4 of them are translated secure. Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which is one of the best lexicons out there, translates the word batach to literally mean throw yourself to the ground. Literally, you're standing on the edge of the platform, and God says, step out and trust me, and you throw yourself to the ground. Literally what it means. Trust. So, how are you guys doing in the building program? You trusting? This is a big step for us. We can be frightened. We can be nervous, we can be afraid, or we can trust. Some of you aren't doing too well, and we haven't even broken ground yet. You're not doing too well. You're nervous. You're afraid. You wonder what's going to happen. As we step out, is God going to step back and just let us crash? And you're wondering that. Trust, Solomon says, in the Lord. The second phrase. In the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, the only true and living God. Not just trust in any gods, not just trust in anybody. Trust in the God of heaven. Notice he did not say trust in the building committee. He did not say trust in the capital fundraising group. Trust in the bank. He didn't say that. He didn't say, trust in the pastor. He said, trust in the Lord. So many times we're tempted to find our confidence in other things. Trust in the amount of money you got on hand. No, trust in God. Trust in the Lord. Look at the next phrase. With all your heart. With all your heart. The word all is a small word, but it's a big word. Because you see, all doesn't mean some. All doesn't mean just this area of your life, just the spiritual parts, just the other parts. All of your life, trust in God with all your heart. Not just a portion. You may be going through things in your own life. Maybe it's a diagnosis, and you're saying, well, I'm going to trust in God, but I'm going to trust my doctors and the treatment. Well, contact the doctors and take the treatment, but you trust in God. Whatever it is, trust Trust in the Lord. Someone a while back said, well, I'm going to do all that I can and leave the rest to the Lord. No, you don't do that. You leave all of it with the Lord. Do what you can, but you don't trust your efforts. You trust the Lord. Look at the next phrase. Lean not to your own understanding. Wow, we do that a lot. Man, we do that a lot. I'm going to lean upon what I know, what I've experienced. I'm going to lean on my expertise. No, you lean not on your own understanding. Well, preacher, let me tell you something. I've been in finance my whole life, and here's what we need to do with the building. That's fine. Give us the advice. But you don't trust in that advice. You trust in the Lord. Well, I've been in construction, and I know building, and I know all of this. And that's fine. We want to do the best we can, but we don't trust in your expertise. Trust in God. Well, you know, preacher, I feel really good about this campaign because you see, on our legacy building team, we've got an architect, we've got a banker, we've got a finance guy, we've got a lady, she's been in real estate, and then we've got a guy on there, he's been in construction, and I feel pretty good about it. Why? Because of their expertise. You see, we don't lean on that. It's good to have it. It's good to have experience, but we lean upon God. The word lean there is interesting. It's a word literally leaning on a stick or a cane. And so if you can imagine this morning, I have a cane up here, and I'm putting all my weight up on it. I mean, all of it. And if someone were to knock the cane out from underneath, I would fall. As opposed to putting some of my weight on the cane, but leaving the rest of it over here, and someone knocks it out from underneath, I'm still okay. The image is leaning completely with all of your weight on the cane or the stick. And if someone were to knock it out, you fall. So you're not leaning upon your experience, your expertise, what you've done, what you think. You're leaning upon God. And if He falls, you fall. That's the picture. So many times people, well, Pastor, I just go by the numbers. Okay, you're leaning upon your understanding. I find it interesting so far. We'll talk about the building or something, and I'll tell them, the group or whatever we're in, the same thing I'm telling you. God's going to take care of us. He led us to this. It's a spiritual project. God's going to take care of us. And they're sitting there like, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, go ahead. Let's get to the important part. Yeah. And then we start talking numbers, and they light up, and they perk up. They're ready. What are they trusting? Their understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not put your cane on yourself, but upon God. In all your ways, he says. The word all, there again, all your ways. Not some, not a certain. All your ways. Acknowledge him. The word acknowledge is interesting there. Now, whenever I hear the word acknowledge, I think, well, it's just somebody tipping a cap to me or saying hi across the room. If we're somewhere and I see somebody that I know or they know me and we kind of wave and then go on, I acknowledge that I see them or they acknowledge that they see me. That's kind of what I think of with acknowledge. That's not what the word is used here in Hebrew. It's not a word that just means, I'm going to, hey, acknowledge you're over there. Hey, God, I see you there. Now I'm going to go about my business. It's a word that literally means to know. And it's one of the most commonly used words in Scripture. Yada. To know. 953 times in the Old Testament. God says, no. You can know me. And so what he's saying is, don't just acknowledge God with a tip of the hat, but you know him in all circumstances. Know what he likes. Know what he doesn't like. Know what he values. Know how he acts. Know how he moves. Know him in every aspect of your life. Every aspect of our church life. Know how God works. And then he makes you a promise. The only promise in here, right here, you ready? He will make straight your paths. So if you trust in him with all your heart, if you don't put your weight on the cane of what you do, but on him, the promise is this: he will make your paths straight. I don't know about you, I want a straight path in life. Not an easy path. It won't be easy. He didn't say easy. Straight. He'll make your path straight. I don't know about you, I would like a straight path for this building to be here 16, 17 months from now. How do we do that? Oh, you plan good. Well, that's part of it. But you rest all of your weight on him. And whenever you jump, you know he'll catch you. Now, number two on your outline, we'll do something a little different. Number two in your outline, Psalms, a book of trust. Probably no other book in all of Scripture talks about trust the most than Psalms. So this week, and most of them were in dire situations when they wrote it. They had to trust God. Their lives were on the line. So here's what I did. I went through the Psalms this week, and I pulled out 19 Psalms that all talk about trust. Now, there are more than that. I just pulled out 19 of them. Here's what I want to do. Don't panic. We're not going to be here till 2 o'clock. But I'm gonna briefly read all 19 to you and make a comment, and we'll move right on. Stay with me, because as you look at all 19 Psalms, a picture starts to emerge of what trust looks like. You ready? Here's number one, Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times. There's that word again. Oh, people, pour out your heart before God, before him. God is a refuge for us. Whatever you're going through, trust him. He's a refuge. Next one, Psalm 143:8. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me to know the way I should go. Man, there are a lot of decisions here at the church over the next coming months. I want to know which way to go. I want to know what to do. How do I know what to do? I trust him, is what this psalm says. Go to the next one. Psalm 31:14. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Trusting in you, you're God. Maybe you need to say that in your own life today. The next one. Psalm 40:4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Let's exchange that word man for church. Blessed is the church that makes the Lord their trust. Next one. Psalm 9:10. Or rather, I'm sorry, 84:12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. There's the word blessed again, trusting in him. Actually, the word blessed this time means happy or joyful. Blessed, the joyful person is blessed when you trust in the Lord. Look at the next one, Psalm 9:10. And those who know your name put their trust in you. O Lord, you have not forsaken those who seek you. So there's a difference, according to that verse, there's a difference in the way a church builds a building and the way other people build buildings. Because you see, we know his name. That's what it says. Those that know your name put their trust in you. So it's different than building a hospital or a restaurant or a school or a university. It's those that know your name. They'll put their trust in you. And we'll see what he does. Next, Psalm 4:5. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. In other words, do what's right. Do what you're called to do. Do what you should do. Not just sit back. Do what you should do. Do it in the best way possible. and trust in God. Look at the next one. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Do what's right. Look at the next one. Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. $34 million? Serious? What are we going to do, Pastor? When we're afraid, we put our trust in Him. Whatever is going on in your life that's causing you to fear, trust in Him. Look at the next one. Psalm 56:4. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. Pastor, have you seen the price of steel lately? Oh, it sure is a bad time to build. Oh, I know. It's and all those tariffs. We don't know what that's going to do to the economy. It sure is a bad time to build. I sure wish that we would have been able to do this earlier. I wish the economy wasn't. Anytime you get bad news, you trust. Anytime in your own personal lives you get bad news, you trust. Look at the next one. Psalm 118:8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust the construction company, than to trust the capital fundraising group, than to trust the bank, than to trust the pastor. It's better to take refuge in God and trust Him. Look at the next one. Psalm 146:3. Put not your trust in princes, people, son of man, in whom there is no salvation. Look at the next one. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some people trust their cash on hand. Makes them feel better. And it is good to have, but we're not trusting it. We're trusting God. Not chariots, not horses, knowing God will provide. Look at the next one, Psalm 37:4-5. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Look at the next two. Trust in Him and He will do something. Trust in the Lord. He will act. How? I don't know. But it's going to be miraculous and it's going to be fun because God will act when you and I trust. Look at the next one, Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped. Whenever you trust, God will help. Your own personal life, whatever you're going through, you trust, God helps. You trust, God helps. Look at the next one. Psalm 112:6-7. For the righteous will never be moved. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. You get bad news, trust in God. Look at the next one, Psalm 22:4. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. Folks, there are a lot, 70 years ago? There were people in this church that trusted God to build the building you're sitting in. They trusted Him. Probably wasn't any easier for them than it is us. But you know what? They trusted, and He delivered. And we have the opportunity to trust, knowing He'll deliver. Look at the next one. Psalm 91:2-3. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, and my God in whom I trust, for He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Whatever could happen, God will deliver you from it. Whatever's out there, as you're trusting, God will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And then finally, the last one, Psalm 125:1. For those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, that's Jerusalem, that cannot be moved. Here's the picture. whatever you're going through in your life, rather than being afraid, rather than being scared, you stand on God and you trust firmly and you will not be moved, although bad news comes, because your God will not step back in the time you need Him. He'll be there to catch you. And as a church, the picture, we get bad news. We have this go wrong, that go wrong. We are not afraid because we're not trusting in ourselves. We're trusting in God with all of our hearts. And we will not be moved like a mountain of Jerusalem. Well, Pastor, I sure wish I had the faith you have. Well, why don't you? You know the same God I do. I don't get it. We know that it's not that I know a better God than you. You've been saved as long as I have. Why are you not trusting? 2 years ago, May 1st of 2023, there was a small airplane that was flying over the country of Colombia. It was flying over one of the most remote parts in the world, the Amazon rainforest. And as it's flying over it, seven people inside, and the engine failed, and it went down into the jungle. They couldn't find it. It's too remote to try to hunt through and find the crash site. 2 weeks later, they finally found it. Whenever they got to the crash site, three adults were killed on impact, but there were seven in the plane. They couldn't find the other four. The other four were kids. All four were siblings, brothers and sisters. And all four of them were gone. They found the three dead on impact. They couldn't find the other four. They didn't know where they were. Were they dead? Were they alive? They didn't know. And they ranged in ages from 13 years old was the oldest and 11 months was the youngest. And so they started to search and they couldn't find them. No trace of them. Finally, rescue efforts went on and weeks passed and hope waned and they thought, if they were alive, they're probably not anymore. So rescuers began dropping food and water and whistles for the kids to blow if they could hear them and find out where they are, dropping those into the jungle just in case the kids were alive. Truth is, they were alive, all four of them. They kind of lived at the edge of the jungle, so they had some instincts, but not a lot to survive for long term. And so the kids were alive, but they were hiding because they thought the people looking for them were natives trying to kill them. So every time rescuers came close or got near, they were gone, hidden, and they couldn't get them. So finally, the rescuers had an idea. They had 150 of the Colombian army there. They had 40 more volunteers. They had rescue dogs, and they finally came up with an idea. We're going to get their grandmother to record on a recorder her voice talking to them, and they would lower the speakers into the jungle where they thought they were. See if it worked. So the grandmother recorded, this was 2 years ago, the grandmother recorded it. Children, we're searching for you. We're trying to rescue you. We love you. Come out into the opening. The people looking for you are trying to help you. They're not going to harm you. They're trying to help you. Come on out where we can see you. Over and over, they played this recording over and over, the grandmother, and it worked. The kids came out into the opening. And after 40 days, they were rescued. Here's a picture, plane crash, and some of the kids rescued. They were hungry, they were dehydrated, they had insect bites, but they were alive. And folks, here's a good principle for us. What brought those kids out and rescued them and gave them hope? Not the army, not the food, not the rescue dogs. But it was the voice of someone they trusted. gave them hope. Folks, we're going to do everything we can in the highest quality way we can, this building. But our hope and our rescue and our deliverance will be when you and I trust the voice with all of our hearts that we know can be trusted. Father, I thank you today for this passage. Forgive us, Lord, of where things happen in our lives sometimes. And God, we don't think we can jump because we're afraid that you won't be there to catch us. Father, I pray for those in our church and those watching online right now. Maybe they came to church today with something in their life that they know they need to step out on and do. Step out on and trust in their own personal lives. But they're just, to be honest, a little afraid. Because they don't know if they can fully trust you or not. Help them know today they can. Because you have a good heart. Father, as we're about to embark on a historic season in our church, I pray that, God, we will do everything we can to the best of our ability. Not leaning upon that, but doing the best we can, to the best of our ability, but we're trusting you. God, in this process, teach us about yourself. Teach us about ourselves. Help us to learn things about you that we'd never know any other way. And God, help us to love you more and more as a people of God. It's in Jesus' name I pray.